Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupodity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gotts, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gotts providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gotts's influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupodity.
Welcome into another episode of Stupodity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Bigger than Oprah, bigger than Rogan. Rogan's the target now, by the way, Stancy.
Okay.
I don't know why. I mean, I like Rogan. He's been on the show, and I'm trying to get him on our podcast because he needs the bomb. And so that is the target now. But please subscribe, rate, and review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. You and you alone have made us bigger than Oprah. And we got big news to announce on this podcast coming up in the next few weeks. We really actually do have, listen, we had Tom Brady on, and so hopefully that bought us some equity with the audience. When I tell you we have some big announcements to make coming up on the podcast, we have some big announcements to make coming up on the podcast, but we will get to those in future episodes. Stanzik, I am super excited about what we're doing today. Have you ever spoken to Greg Norman? Have you ever had any sort of interaction with Greg Norman at all? Because he's coming on today.
No, I've had none. My only memories of Greg Norman are watching golf with my father in the mid-90s and Norman blowing big leads at majors.
Yeah, he finished second. That's a great way to bring him in. Good job on him. I mean, he finished, I think he was the runner-up at 8 majors. I think he was a runner-up at Augusta 4 or 5 times, which is crazy. He had the epic meltdown, which it was odd with Greg Norman. He was so beloved. 331 weeks, Stancic, he was the number one golfer in the world. People do not remember that. And the disappointing thing about Norman is you would think that would translate into like 15 majors. It translated into 2. He only won the Open Championship, and he won it twice. Never won the U.S. Open, never won the PGA, never won the Masters. In fact, I'll have to look up how many times he was the runner-up at Augusta. But he was so enormously popular, Stancic, that while losing that Masters that you were talking about, it was so gut-wrenching and so heartbreaking that it actually helped the mystique and the popularity of Greg Norman grow. It was crazy, man. Weird.
Yeah, I mean, not only the 96 Masters, I think he had a 6-stroke lead and lost by 5 strokes. 86, in 1986, he had the 54-hole lead at all 4 majors. The only one he won was the Open Championship.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know. I mean, it just so close. And he was so good. He was just, I mean, number one golfer in the world for 331 weeks. Well, think about that. I am looking right now at his runner-up. So he won the Open Championship twice, as we mentioned. U.S. Open, 84-85 runner-up. PGA Championship, 86-80 or 93 runner-up. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, you're right, Masters, 86, 87, and 96. 86 and 87 were heartbreaking. But I'm telling you, the fans grew to love him because the meltdowns were so epic. And you could see yourself doing some of the things as, you know, golf is so relatable, Stancic, where even the best golfers in the world have these meltdowns. You saw it with Tom Brady. Tom mm-hmm. Brady is the best quarterback we've ever seen play football. And Tom Brady could not hit a golf ball if his life depended on it for the first 8 holes of the match this past weekend. Because golf will do that to you. It will humble you in a way that no other sport can, you know?
I got to say, I'm almost disappointed in you. I don't know how long we've been talking, but you haven't even referred to Greg Norman as the shark yet, and I feel like I don't even know who you are.
You're right. That's on me. As a top tire. That's who I am, okay? I mean, recorded podcasts at an unhealthy rate here, and I am tired. You are right, all right? I mean, I'm sorry, the shark. Athletes that there are nicknamed animals, I mean, I'm in. Let's go. You know, let's go.
I mean, we're back. Just, can I go with Tiger? Is that too easy?
That's his name. Well, it's Eldridge. So I guess you can. I guess. So what are we doing? Nicknamed animals or canoed animals? Two different games.
Ooh. I think we can make a combined. Let's do canoe, because then if they're nicknamed, it still works. So canoe.
Okay. athletes that can own animals. So now I have to think about, because nickname animals is pretty George the Animal Steel. Kind of ends the game right there. If we do nickname, I'm saying.
True. I mean, if you want to stay in golf, we got the Golden Bear.
The Golden Bear is fantastic. I'm trying to think. The Golden Bear, but that's a nickname, doesn't connote. So I'm trying to think of someone who connotes an animal. I got it. Well, I don't know. It's a nickname. Andres Galarraga, the big cat.
Galarraga.
The big cat. But that's a nickname, the big cat. We have to come up with athletes that connote animals.
No, I think they both count. I think when you say Andres Galarraga, I think big cat. And so that's connoting an animal.
No, but connoting an animal would be like if some guy's last name was Pale, was.
So like Dominique Foxworth.
There you go.
Okay.
That's it. Jimmy Fox. Right. You have opened the Fox portal.
John Fox. Yeah.
Thank God you did it. Yes. Who knew there were so many foxes out there?
I know.
Yes. The name, the animal needs to be somewhere within the name, or an animal part needs to be somewhere within the name. Yes, yes.
So like Mad Dog Russo.
Have you ever gotten to play this game?
Mad Dog Russo doesn't count, is what you're telling me.
Christopher Mad Dog Russo absolutely does not count. It's a nickname. It does not.
How are we on this version of the game when it started with the shark?
The shark's his nickname. So I asked you, do you want to play nicknames or people in sports who connote an animal? And those are two very different things. You went for connote, not nickname. So I don't know what to tell you.
I think they're all in the same umbrella. I think when I say Greg Norman, you think shark. So Greg Norman connotes an animal.
Okay. So what do you do with Marty Fish? I mean,
that's perfect. That's very good.
What do you do there?
That's good. Connotes an animal.
But I guess, okay, all right, that's fair. It does connote an animal. Okay, hold on. Now I'm going to...
I feel like we're going every other. I got one. I'm ready. If you want me to just keep emptying the chamber, I can. Or if you want to go every other, we can do that too.
Whatever you want to do. Go ahead.
I got Iron Eagle.
Oh, wow. That's great. That is great. I have a Sue Bird.
That's very good. That's very good.
I've covered the bird category. How about that?
That's true. So if I came back with Carl Anthony Towns, that's not counting because we already did Galarraga, or is that going to qualify?
What, cat?
Yeah.
Catfish Hunter.
That's like a double. Catfish.
I am dominating whatever game it is that we're playing right now. I don't know what game we're playing.
What about Jake the Snake Plumber?
What about Jake the Snake Roberts? I mean, what about Snake Plissken? What about Kenny Stabler? Bobby.
Oh, man. Are we missing any big ones? I feel like we're missing some big ones.
John Sally. The Spider. Dennis Rodman. It's the Worm. We're back. I don't know what game we're playing, though.
Hey, yeah.
They were both tired. COVID-19. It's finally getting to both of us. I was waiting for the day it would happen. And it's happened. Oh, my God. Well, I am not done with this game. Not by a long shot. This is a great game.
Oh, I thought we reached a natural conclusion. Now I got to keep thinking. Oh, man.
Okay.
Let's,
no,
let's just start saying some animals then.
Okay, that's a good idea, too.
Will you count Ryan Sandberg, Rhino?
Yes.
Okay.
See, that's, listen to
go
me.
Go back.
That is connoting an animal, okay? You think it connotes an animal. It's not his nickname. It just connotes an animal. We're probably two separate games here, and it's fine. It's okay because we're stir crazy because we've been talking for 15 consecutive weeks, all right? and there's nothing wrong with what it is we're doing. So now I am just pulling up a list of animals. I mean, this is
what do you got?
I'm so tired of getting anything. Anyone? Dog? I mean, anyone? Dog? Tiger? Fish? Bears? We've covered those. Whale? Turtles? Turtle. Bats? Joe Wolf? Former Carolina.
Randy Wolf. Left-handed pitcher.
For the Phillies, of course. Yeah.
Of course. Wolf Blitzer.
I said, of course, like Randy Wolf is some sort of common knowledge, and I promise you, 90% of our audience is going to go out to look up who Randy Wolf is. Keep it in and get him on. Okay?
He had a pretty good run. Randy Wolf was a good pitcher. He played for a lot of teams, I think.
Yeah. You going to look that up? That run?
I'm looking up Randy Wolf. Oh, yeah.
I'm just giving you some things, you know, some giant panda Pablo Sandoval.
Boom. Randy Wolf won 133 games.
Okay.
He lost 125, but, you know, innings eater, I'd call him.
Yeah, decent career. Kangaroo, anyone? There's got to be someone with Dennis Hobson. Number two pick at Ohio State. Remember that guy?
No.
Hops. Bust.
What about Glenn Robinson?
Big dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to be in there.
Okay.
How about Rocky Balboa? Italian stallion. And how about Michael Jordan?
The GOAT.
Yeah.
What about Lou Gehrig?
What about him?
The Iron Horse, wasn't that him?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
You took me to horses, you know.
I did tell you. I led a horse to water.
I drank. Let's get to the shark.
I'm dying to get to a kangaroo, though. You're right. Let's get to the shark. Stupidity!
Here he is.
How does John like to go by? Stu Gatz?
Yeah. He's known more as Stu Gatz. If you want to go one syllable, you can call him Stu.
Hello, Greg.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm well, thank
you. I mean, he's probably going to call you a shark, so if you got an animal name, you can call him. He's kind of a snake.
Well, I don't think I'll get there because I don't know that personality.
Oh, you'll learn real quick.
Greg, don't listen to a word he says, okay? I mean,
you got it.
It's unbelievable. Black eye take around here, man.
He shaved for you, Shark.
I did.
Oh, really? Yeah, sorry I couldn't get on a Zoom call, but I'm walking around. Got a few things. I'm trying to multitask here this morning.
Well, good, because I'd like to start right there. I love the fact that you wanted to call via phone and not Zoom, because I was told that you like to walk around in the morning. So what is Greg Norman doing at 9 a.m. in the morning? What are you doing right now?
I've been up since 5:20 and just getting the day organized. We're finishing off building this house, so getting the subcontractors organized. I'm doing emails. I'm about ready to go meet with subcontractors as soon as we get off this call, and then go do work on my property, and then, you know, go to the gym and end of the day.
You've had so much success off the golf course in business ventures, and I've read so many articles about getting ahead of the day and doing so by waking up as early as you wake up and getting all that stuff done is one of the keys to being a successful businessman. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, look, I have probably my brain goes into hyperdrive at times, and when it starts, you've got to kind of slow it down. And to slow it down, I just compartmentalize, and just if it takes me 2 minutes to do a task, I do that and then check the box mentally and move on to the next. And I don't worry about it because I've actually put it aside and completed that task, and then go on to the next and the next and the next. It's the laborious things that you have to do dealing with subcontractors and timelines and schedules and You know, so, you know, from that situation, sometimes you have to really be on it, and it takes just more than one meeting to get to a conclusion.
Greg, do you ever just sit down? Like, it sounds like you're the most active guy ever. Like, when are you sitting and relaxing, and what are you doing in that moment?
Well, I actually enjoy Sunday mornings with my wife in the pool house as the sun comes up, drinking coffee, just reading our iPads and see what the news is. I don't watch a whole lot of TV. At the end of the day, my wife and I, Kiki, we kind of download on, you know, 'cause she's doing the interior design, and we're actually the GCs on the construction of the house. And so we just, you know, compare our notes from the day and spend an hour doing that, and then eat dinner, and boom, we crash.
Wake up and do it all over again.
Exactly right.
Greg, you're like the Army. I mean, listen, I've spoken to you so many times over the years, me and Levitard, but you are. The Army slogan is, we do more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day. And I would say that Greg Norman has the same slogan. I mean, you do. You do more before 9 a.m. than most people do in an entire day. It's incredible.
Well, yeah, look, I think I've always been that way. I'm a doer in a lot of ways, you know. I like to get my hands dirty, and I like to be able to say that I'm not asking anybody to do something that I cannot do. And I, you know, just give you kind of like examples, you know, out at my ranch in Colorado. I mean, I run my own heavy equipment, like D6 bulldozers, like, you know, 670D motor graders, like all that stuff, because, you know, it's just something that I like to do. And even here around the property, I'll run my irrigation trenches, and we'll run front end loaders, and we'll move transplant trees and stuff like that, which, you know, I love doing that stuff because it's all, you know, it's kind of what we do in golf course design. But, you know, I don't actually transplant trees in golf course design, but I say, hey, that tree should be moved from there to there, because we like the least disturbance approach and try and keep Mother Nature the best she can possibly be on every golf course we build.
When you're done with all that, Greg, I got a law that needs some work on. I mean, if you want to come on. Greg Norman with us on Stupidity. What did you make of the match over the weekend? Did you enjoy it? I thought it was fantastic. I'm wondering what you thought of it.
Yeah, look, I watched a little bit towards the end. I wasn't watching the first tee shot, but I picked it up around the 14th or 15th hole. I actually thought it was good television, because I think from the confinement of people being cooped up and not seeing live sport of any capacity anywhere around the world, people were ready to blow their lid if something didn't happen pretty quickly, like opening up the country or opening up businesses or seeing sport. So, you know, golf, I was always perplexed, guys, right from the outset, why golf would be, you know, part of the list where you couldn't get out there and play it, because people could go walk, you know, parks in general. People could go walk their dogs down the street. I just never could comprehend why golf courses would be closed down. I understand and get the clubhouses. I understand and get shutting down F&B, but the grass doesn't know there's COVID-19 out there. The grass has got to be maintained. It's got to be watered, and it's got to be going on. So why not give access to golfers who want to carry their golf bag or take just one person in the golf cart? They become responsible for cleaning down that golf cart, and let them get out there in the natural environment. And just, you know, the sun and fresh air is good for people, instead of being cooped up in a four-roomed house or apartment or whatever you're in. And just, I was always, you know, like I said, perplexed about that. But I was so glad to see, back to the match, I was so glad to see it happen. And, you know, we all know Tom Brady loves golf, and we all know Peyton Manning loves golf. And so to get a combination of those guys out there on national TV away from, you know, having a piece of leather in their hand, flinging it 50 yards downfield for a touchdown, it was good to see them, you know, trying to work a little tiny piece of white rubber around, you know, synthetic rubber around to play golf. And I think people really related that. And I thought the interaction from what I saw was really, really good. So, and, you know, to see it happening on a golf course that, you know, I was a co-designer with Pete Dye many years ago, you know, it was very rewarding in a lot of ways.
Greg, I think what was fascinating about it for a lot of people, I think Stanzik probably felt the same way, my producer, is you saw Tom Brady, maybe the greatest athlete we've ever seen, him, Michael Jordan, certainly the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. But we've all felt what Tom felt, especially until he hit that big shot to hit the birdie from the fairway from about 130 yards out, is the game was moving so fast. Everything was moving so fast. You know Tom Brady in private moments has fired off great rounds. But in that moment, playing with those two guys on national TV, you could see the game was moving so fast he couldn't get his swing right. Greg, you've been there. We've all been there. But it really made you relate to Tom Brady in a way that I think the audience has never related to Tom Brady, and it's all because of that crazy game.
Well, that's very true and very observant of you. You know, it's like taking somebody out of their environment that they're very extremely comfortable and confident in. You're like slinging a ball and reading plays, whether it's a slam play or something deep downfield or whatever, you know, where Tom actually instinctively knows what to do. And when you take a great athlete who's a competitor at the highest level and put him in a competitive level where 6 million people are going to be watching you on TV, yeah, people watch him on a Sunday, millions and millions of people, but he controls that space. And it goes to show when, golf is a very, very humbling sport. And, even though you think you're good at the game is way better than you from a mentality standpoint. And it really tasks you in a lot of ways. And especially when you're playing with somebody like Tiger and Phil, right? Because there's always chatter going on in the background with golfers, right? There's so much needle, which is great to see. It's always been that way since I've been in the game of golf for 40 years, this little back chat that goes on the golf course, to be able to see that and feel that. So for Tom, and I've always said this, you know, when we play the game at the highest level, when you have just two guys on a Sunday afternoon in the last group, the five-hour round or four-and-a-half-hour round seems like it goes by in 4 or 5 minutes. So when you have to really be able to slow everything down to understand, okay, am I moving too fast? Is my swing doing this? Am I doing this? Because you get swamped with this plethora of information, whether it's positive or negative, and you don't just enjoy the moment of just saying, I'm going to relax, I'm going to enjoy it, I'm going to have a good time. And, I read that about Tom, but, you know, at the end of the day, he got his act together. And, he stepped up to the plate and he performed really well. I saw the shot he held on the seventh hole at the Medalist. Very, very impressive. And from there, you know, even his reaction was very controlled. It wasn't like jumping up and down and doing high fives with everybody, which they weren't allowed to do anyway, elbow fives or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But great to see. I just absolutely enjoyed the last 3 or 4 or 5 holes that I watched.
I'm going to blow my producer Stanzik's mind right here because I don't think he knows this side of Greg Norman. I know it very well. And, Greg, I know you're short on time, and we appreciate the time. So I'm going to ask you this, a couple of fill-in-the-blanks, word association, and get you the hell out of here because you got a lot to do. And I know that. But you've done some really cool and crazy stuff in your life, Greg. Cool and crazy stuff. And so I'm wondering, the medal stand of the coolest things, like swimming with sharks, skydiving, all this stuff that I think my producer stands in because I'm aware that you do on a regular basis. Bronze, silver, and gold medal stand of craziest things Greg Norman has tried in his life.
Ooh, okay. First of all, a bronze medal of going up with the U.S. Navy in an F-18 with the Admiral of the Pacific Fleet out of Miramar and doing a couple of traps on the USS Carl Vinson many years ago. We did some really impressive aerial maneuvers, and I'm a big turn and burn type of guy. I wanted to be a fighter pilot, when I was a kid growing up. For me to be able to experience that through the graciousness of the U.S. Navy and the military to allow me to go experience that was just a memory of a lifetime. Even today, I'm really good friends with Major Dan Rooney. I've flown with the Blue Angels, stuff like that that just really turns my hair on the back of my neck and stands it on end. So that would be one, the bronze.
Okay.
The silver medal, let me think. Probably spelunking in the Colorado Rockies with a professional going deep inside the mountains there to come to a massive underground river system that I'd never experienced. And it was interesting where you had to take your backpack off and push it through and breathe out as you pulled yourself through a very skinny slit. Thank God I had a professional with me. We had to rappel down certain sections and climb back up. And then we got to this river system, and it was really, really cold inside the mountain. We were wet, obviously, from pulling ourselves through the rock on the floor. It was just a massive river system. You straddled maybe about a 4-foot slit in the mountain, and you could hear the river raging underneath. That would be number two. And the gold medal, I would say, it's probably going to be a tie. And it's supposed to both to do with scuba diving. And one was in the Bahamas where I actually, Jacques Cousteau was trying to find the end of this cave system in the Exumas. So I went to do it, and it was a very, very technical dive. It was a deep dive. Again, I went with a professional. And again, we came into a cave system. We stepped ourselves down. It was pitch black. So it was really exhilarating. You had to really be calm because it was very claustrophobic. So I put that equal to the second one I did was the diving in Truk Lagoon, which was America's response to Japan's Pearl Harbor attack. And Truk Lagoon is out there in the South Pacific, and it's a magnificent dive site. But I did a deep penetration with my daughter with another professional, and we went into the bowels of a warship, into the engine room, deep down. We were, again, you know, pushing the limits of scuba gear. But because my daughter is a really, really good diver. And then once we got down there, we found a skull wedged in between the stringers of the ship. And, you know, it really became a very surreal moment in a lot of ways because you realize that was a human being caught in war. And here we are, you know, decades and decades and decades on, the skull was preserved there. So there's moments like that that really, you know, opens yourself up and gives you the realistic point of view about where the world has been and what the world is today. You know, so those type of things where you don't get a chance to do them that often. And when you do them, it's like, wow, I really do. But my bucket list, the one that'll supersede every one of them would be diving under the Antarctic ice pack, which I hope to do before I die.
Are you making plans to do that? Are you efforting to make that happen here?
Yes, it's a big effort. It's about a 2 to 3 year process to get organized. I thought I had it done a couple of years ago, but I just couldn't get it done. But it's on my bucket list, and there's very few things that I haven't done on my bucket list.
That's amazing. Stanzik is mesmerized by this. He had no idea about this side of you. I can't believe that you pushed the limits of scuba gear with your daughter down there with you, which is incredible. But Stanzik has and I realize he's a great diver. Stanzik, this begs a follow-up, and I know you have one. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Greg, you're clearly way more of a man than me or Stugas will ever be.
just by the things he's done this morning.
Yeah, right. I didn't know what spelunking was until you just said it. You do actual deep dives. We just pretend to cover subjects deeply, even though we don't. What's the most scared you've ever been?
Oh, boy. I would probably say, and this is going to sound weird, I've probably never really been in a situation where I've actually been actually scared, because I actually, this might sound crazy or conceited or whatever, but even though I've done some interesting things in my life, I've never really, really pushed the envelope. I've always done them within what I believe is my capabilities, and you always leave yourself a little bit of room to know what to do if something goes bad. And if you don't have that strategy or plan, the exit strategy, I would say is the best way of putting it. If you don't have that in the back of your head, then you may get scared about getting yourself into a situation because you haven't mapped out what happens if. So I haven't really truly been scared, but I must admit, the older you get, the more conservative I've become on some of the things that I think I can do.
Getting soft, Norman. You're getting soft. That's the key, by the way. I'm teasing you. I'm teasing you. That, Greg, that's the key. See, Stanzik and I would go in with no plan, no contingency plan, no worst-case scenario plan. We wouldn't know how to – see, Stanzik, when you're armed with information and you prepare the way Greg does, you're not nearly as nervous. You and I would just jump in with no plan as to how to get out. I mean, so that's the problem with us. Greg Norman, the shark with us here on Stupidity. All right, Greg, I'm just going to do some quick fill in the blanks, word association, get you out of here and get you on with the rest of your day, okay?
Okay, you got it.
All right, the relationship Greg Norman has that he can't believe he has is blank.
With certain leaders of the free world.
Okay. You want to name any?
Look, yeah, I could do. I mean, I'm very fortunate that the game of golf has actually allowed you to get to know individuals, whether they're CEOs or whether they're leaders of, the free world, which is the United States, or leaders of other countries. It's just been an impressive time period of my life to be able to say golf has been that connector. And I've stayed in touch with people. Last night I was going back and forth with the prime minister of a country, and it doesn't matter how big the country is, it's just you're checking in with them and saying, hey, how you doing? What's COVID done? You know, I hope you're safe and well with your inner circle in it. And, you know, it's just like reaching out to anybody, you know, just checking up on them, and it means a lot. So, you know, and you get a response. And that, to me, is important. And I've been very, very lucky to get to know, including the president, you know, because of his love of golf.
The person Greg Norman learned the most about golf from is blank.
Oh, this is a very interesting question. I can answer this in multiple ways. I would say Severiano Ballesteros, rest in peace, my friend. He taught me the most about the short game because we were competitors. We were 1 and 2 in the world, or 2 or 3 in the world. We're always competing against each other. But Seve was a horrendous driver of the golf ball, and I was a great driver. And we kind of took each other under the wing, and I wanted to help Seve with his driving, and he taught me a lot about my short game. About business and the transition between golf and business and being aware of your environment.
Greg, you are good, because I was going to ask you, the most important person you've met in business is blank, so go ahead.
It would be an observer of different people and mistakes made by other people, right? I've been a student of improving my position in life by understanding what people did wrong and how they did it wrong, and making sure I wouldn't do that again. So it was really hard for me to single out one particular person, but there's been a lot of people. I would say my father, in a lot of ways, instilled a certain value in me by just saying, always say the truth, no matter, you know, who it hurts or how it hurts, because it'll never put you in bad stead going forward. So I've always tried to keep that in the forefront of my mind and everything I do. And from a business perspective, I've just been a huge admirer of certain people. Roger Penske comes to mind because of what he did, a lover of race car driving to where he is today. Jack Welch, again, rest in peace, my friend. A great guy who took me under his wing to some degree of being street smart about how you look at different opportunities. And he was looking at it from the CEO of General Electric, one of the biggest companies in the world, and how he built that company up. So individuals like that was very much had a powerful influence on me and my mindset of how I approach things.
All right, word association, and I'll get you out of here. You've been great and gracious with your time, and we appreciate it. Just whatever comes to your mind when I say a certain word. Golf.
Passion.
Business.
Legacy.
Life.
Incredible.
Perfect. Turnberry.
Deep meaning and memories.
Royal St. George.
The purest I've hit a golf ball on a Sunday.
Oh, wow. Those are the two places Greg won the Open Championship, by the way, for those of you who don't know. Greg, do people realize that you were the number one golfer, I think, for 331 consecutive weeks? Stanzik, were you aware of that? The number one golfer in the world for 331 consecutive weeks? I know Greg knows that he was. He knows that I know that he was. I don't think people realize it, and it drives Greg crazy. Were you aware of that, Stanza?
I was aware that he was the number one ranked golfer in the world for a period in the 90s. Yes, I was aware.
For 331 f***ing weeks.
Yeah, it was a fantastic journey at that time. It really was. And, you know, I just believed in golf as a global sport, and I just wanted to play it on a global basis. And, you know, that's, you know, where I sit today. That really set me up from that opportunity of expanding my name and brand very, very early on.
Yep. We'll get you out of here. Jack Nicklaus.
He was the guy who got me into it. You know, I started playing the game of golf by reading his two books, Golf My Way and 55 Ways to Play the Game. If those two books weren't out there, I probably wouldn't be where I am today. I would probably be that fighter pilot or in Top Gun somewhere in Miramar teaching young kids now because of my age. But yeah, I would say definitely.
I love Greg Norman as Maverick. I really do. Last three. Is Top Gun your favorite movie, by the way?
Oh, yeah. I've loved it. I must have watched it 20 times.
Are you going to watch the new one when it comes out? Is it out yet? I don't even know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that and the new James Bond movie with Daniel Craig, who I think is the best. Outside of Sean Connery, he was the next best James Bond.
I will tell you, if anyone in sports, I've had this discussion with my friends before, if anyone in sports played the role of James Bond, I would choose you. You would be perfect.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. If I like Daniel Craig. I love his demeanor and approach. And, you know, I would say the same thing.
All right, final three, and you're done, I promise you. Word association, Phil Mickelson.
Charismatic.
Okay, Tiger Woods.
I'm just chewing the right word because I think he's just done a phenomenal job of resurrecting himself.
And last one for you, Augusta.
Great memories with a lot of pain.
Right. Wow, that's well said. Greg Norman, the Shark, we appreciate it. You've always been great to both me and Dan, gracious with your time, great with your stories, an amazing guest, and I know you got a lot to do. We do appreciate it. So thank you so much. And I will let you know that your words on our show is what, you know, I live on your golf course down here at Parkland Golf and Country Club, and your strong words about how we need to be playing golf is when I played at a board meeting to get our golf course back open. So thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, well, thank you, guys. And thanks to you for having me on. And to all your listeners, be safe, be well, and be smart as we come on out of this deal. But let's get this world and country back going again because we all need it.
Stupidity.
All right, Stanzik, here's a rule, okay? A life lesson, all right, for you and for the audience. Never speak to Greg Norman at 9 a.m. in the morning because you will feel lousy about yourself. Listen, you're shocked, right, that Greg Norman does more before 9 a.m. than you and I will do the entire day, correct?
I'm just intimidated by how manly he is. We got to get him and Mark Schlereth together, and they'll just change the world. Like, literally pick up dirt and move the world.
Right, but I don't think Norman wants to hang out with Stink. He's hanging out with presidents and prime ministers, you know?
That's true.
It's just a weird – nothing against Stink. I'm just saying. All the adventures that he has had, have you – like, do you have a top three? Like, have you done anything nearly as dangerous as just some of the things that Greg Norman told us he just did?
No. None. Nothing.
I asked for his medal stand, and he had the answer. Like, he was waiting for that. He's been waiting for that question his entire life because he had a great answer for it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I have three if you want to hear them.
Oh, you do? Okay, I'm ready.
I don't know if they're as dangerous as Norman, but I do have three, okay?
Okay.
Hot air balloon. I did a ride. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, me and Abby. Honeymoon, hot air balloon, San Francisco, Northern California. Very windy day, and we ended up getting – well, we got hung up in a tree.
Wow.
The balloon got hung up in a tree. We were suspended midair for what? It was 20 minutes, but it seemed like 20 years. I'm not even joking.
It's pretty good bronze.
And I'm afraid of heights. I mean, yeah. You know, it was terrible. The second one on my list would be walking the plank. I did that.
What do you mean?
I got married, Stancic.
Oh.
You just terrible. Walked the plank a couple of weeks ago.
True. Yeah, I guess I got one dangerous thing I've done.
So you do have a list. Congratulations. Yeah. I'm walking a plank. Way to go. And then number one, without question, it's the most dangerous thing I've ever done in my life, is I went in the wave pool at Action Park. The nickname was the Grave Pool. Stupidity.